Rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. If you know it, sing along. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Age to age, and age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our. And all will see how great is our God. Let's sing that again. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Above all names, he's the name above all names, so worthy, Lord, you're worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. Name above all names, you're the
you, Carla. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everybody to Spirit of Hope Lutheran Church this beautiful Easter week, season morning. Next week is Pentecost, so we're all done with the Easter season as we continue into the long season of Pentecost through the summer. We welcome everybody to church this morning. We have several visitors and guests. We want to welcome you to our church this morning. And for those of you at home, we welcome you as well. For communion today, some of you may have picked up a little small cup from the back here. We have several different ways of doing communion because of still some of the situations with the COVID that we have an option that you can take those cups and receive communion from your seats. Or we will have everybody come forward if you, those that want to come forward, that can come forward and receive the cup from the altar area here as well. And we invite those of you at home, since we are live, to go ahead and receive communion with us as a community together in worship. We invite you to grab some grape juice or wine and some bread and then receive the communion elements with us during that time of the service. I want to say thank you to Carla. She is our plan B for today. Last night I received a phone call from Donna. She was in the emergency room with not feeling well at all. And she was admitted to the hospital early this morning, very early, and has some kidney functions that are a little troublesome. So she's in the hospital right now. I will be probably going to see her after service today. And so just keep Donna in your prayers. Hopefully it'll be something that can be fixed very quickly, and so she can return to us and to her the work. She's such a busy person. She had 16 recitals yesterday that she had to sit through, not feeling very well. So she had a very long day and went directly to the emergency room afterwards. So we just, again, keep her in your prayers. Yes. I'm not sure yet. I didn't ask, and I forgot my phone at home. So that's the way it is. Some other quick announcements. You see, Josh, our sound guy that has been with us so for so many years, is now, next Sunday will be his official last Sunday with us. He is moving to Indiana for a short period of time and will eventually end up in Ohio with his son. And so we wish him farewell and blessings. Let's give him a round of applause for so many years of dedication. And again, if you are interested in working the sound booth and the PowerPoint, we are definitely looking for people to help fill in for us and to learn that system. It's not too difficult. Of course, we have our glitches that we all have to get frustrated with and try to learn through those glitches, but the more the merrier. So if you are interested in that position or that job, let me know. It is a volunteer position that sometimes we might need you at the spur of the moment. Depends on who shows up on Sunday mornings. Just come and talk to me, and we'll make sure we get you set up. Let me see. Next week is Confirmation Sunday. So we have our three young people. We have Lindsay, we have Addie, and we have Georgia are all being confirmed next week. And so today is our last day of confirmation officially. And we're going to have a small competition with their parents. Their parents don't know it, but those parents are, you guys are invited to come and participate in this competition. It's a kind of like a trivia, and to see who's smarter, the students or their parents. That'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be lots of fun. So we're going to be doing that today, too, for the last day of class. Anything? Let me see. We've got a quick announcement here from Butch.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to invite the congregation. Starting in June, we will be making sack lunches with the Senior Rock. What we need for each week is 3 large jars of peanut butter, 3 large jars of strawberry jam or type of jam. We need 100 snack bars, 100 potato chips. And again this year, we thank the Superstition Springs Market for donating the 100 pieces of fruit that we will be having for the sack lunch. So if you are able, please donate accordingly. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me see. I think that might be it for announcements. We do have a team committee chair meeting immediately following service in the larger classroom. So if you're a chairperson from one of our task forces or our teams, make sure you remember that meeting. It's very important to attend. And that's been, again, in the large classroom with our council presidents. All right. With that, let's go ahead and continue with our worship today. We'll have Carla join us or lead us in song. So let's stand and sing together our opening song.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world good a cappella. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. All newborn servants wear a crucified heir on their brows, the sealed of him who died. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. O Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, draw us all to thee. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. You guys are amazing. Amen.
O God of glory, your Son Jesus Christ suffered for us and ascended at your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn to your bountiful presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We have a reader for today. Thank you.
Good morning. Our reading is from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 12 through 14, and the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 11. Our faith in Christ does not make us immune from the scorn of others. Nevertheless, we are to resist the designs of evil when we experience disparagement from others, because we trust God's grace will strengthen and guide us. The reading. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled in the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the reading. Please join me in reading responsively Psalm 68, verses 1 through 10 and 32 through 35. Let God arise, and let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee. As smoke is driven away, so you should drive them away. As the wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God, and let them also be merry and joyful. Sing to God, sing praises to God's name. Exalt the one who rides the clouds. I am is that name. Rejoice before God. In your holy habitation, O God, you are a father to orphans, defender of widows. You give the solitary a home and bring forth prisoners into freedom, but the rebels live in desert places. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked and the skies poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You sent forth a beautiful rain, O God. You restored your inheritance when it languished. You found their home in it. In your goodness, O God, you have made provision for the poor. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. You ride in the heavens, O God, in the ancient heavens. You send forth your voice, your mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose strength is in the skies. How wonderful you are in your holy places, O God. Give strength and power to your people. Blessed be God. Please rise for the gospel if you are able.
The gospel reading for today comes to us from the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I have in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you have gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and that they believe that you have sent me. I am asking you on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, and this is Jesus' prayer. It's the final scene of this farewell prayer meal to the point right before the ascension to the Father. And we read that where he stops to speak to his disciples. And then he addresses God in this prayer. And this prayer, Jesus highlights the unity of the Father and the Son and the believing community in which the Holy Spirit works through. These past 2 weeks, we've been doing a lot of discussing about believers and living Jesus' way. I mean, that is living by doing things that Jesus had been doing for God's people, such as healing and feeding the poor and of course, loving each other. In verse 3 today, we read Jesus in his prayer saying, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Knowing who God is. Well, there's an old sermon illustration that I would like to share with you that talks about what people really believe about who God is. And it's about a preacher who went to his pulpit and 100 faces look up at him. And in those faces, the entire world was captured. And as he began to speak, he smiled the smile of those to see, but do not understand. He said, "Let us give thanks for God and all of his promises, for all that he has given us. Thank you for our bodies, for legs that run, for ears that hear songs, and for eyes that see beauty, for arms that hug and hands that hold." And sadly, without a word, 10 people got up and left the service. Those who were blind or deaf or crippled or paralyzed or without a limb or who lived in constant pain with a crippling disease. "Thank you for the comforts of this world and for the rivers of wealth that have flowed on us." And another 10 got up and left. Those suffering from malnutrition and those who saw their children die of starvation, those without adequate resources to protect against the winter cold. But the preacher saw none of this. "Thank you for the wonderful minds through which we understand art and science, and with people probe into the mysteries of the universe." And several people above just the regular average attendance blushed, and mentally impaired boys looked up, and a brain damaged girl stared blankly, and then another 10 walked to the door. The preacher continued, thanking God for friends and for beauty and for health of the worshipers' bodies and for the correct behavior, for peace and justice and for family. And 10 by another 10, they left. Those who knew that they were less than virtuous, those who were victims of injustice and war, the lonely, those who were alienated by family. Then the preacher looked at the congregation and saw no one was left. "Oh Lord, where have they gone?" And God answered, "You have exalted what I have never promised. When did I promise friendships, perfect health, peace, and justice? Remember my servant Job? Remember my son Jesus? Then Lord, what have you promised us? What have you given us?" Says the preacher. And God says, "Myself." And the preacher then ran to the doorway of the church, and there sitting outside in the shadows were the 100. "Oh, my friends," he said, "I deceived you. Some may have health, some may have friends, some may have justice, but all we really have is God. It was said by Job, 'Though he slay me, yet I must trust him, for this is all that I have for certain, is that God gives to us himself.'" So reaching for each other's hands, they all came back inside. And once again, the preacher came to the pulpit and said, "Let us give thanks that God himself is with us, the world without end." And 100 voices shouted, "Amen." And there was joy in heaven. So it is with the words, "All we really have is God." That can sound on the surface like we only have God himself. Well, in reality, if all we really have is God himself, then we have really everything that we need. We have everything that we need. You know, it must have been quite comforting for those gathered with Jesus that day to hear and to overhear that they were beloved, that they were the one with him in one in some way, some deep way, where he had confidence that they would be able to do and to speak as he has spoken to all the people of the world. Yes, they were schooled on the traditions of Jesus' way, and they knew about the sanctity of his name and who God was. And to know the name, they must have learned from an early age to know God, to be in a special relationship with God in an amazing way. And to manifest that name was in that society to reveal God through their very lives. I wonder if these actual nobodies actually realized that they had just been given a gift that was denied. Even their reverend teacher, Moses, the person in the name of God. It is a blessing of loving kindness spoken aloud, and one that connects this group of disciples to no other that will carry them across the troubled waters of evil and darkness and betrayal. This prayer, like Jesus, all of the other Jesus prayers, is meant to be overheard by us. It witnesses to Jesus' return to God in his glory, and to his deep love for all of his followers of all times. Everything that God has, he now gives to us as he is returning back to God. Jesus proclaims in verse 23 that God will now love everyone, including us today, 2,000 years later, the very same love that God had for Jesus, he gives us. Jesus simply prays through the lens of glory. Glory, which is given back to God, to Christ, to make them one. To glorify God is to know where you have come from. To know whom you belong. It is to take the risk in the blessing that comes from when we put others before ourselves. To serve strangers by shining in the light into the world, in the shadow of all-consuming darkness. You know, really, to glorify God is to risk openly our hearts by living into the oneness in Jesus Christ when we should most often not bother to expend the energy it takes. We don't generally do that. So, for us today, to glorify God is our call. To glorify God is to know where you have come from and to know whom you belong. We are to glorify God for everything and for everything we have and do in our lives. In other words, we work for the Lord rather than for people. We don't work just for a paycheck. We work for the glory of God. If you think about it, that's what our faith is all about. And we hope we do our very best at it, right? I mean, the purpose of our vocations is to love and serve our neighbors, really. We work for others. When we do so, God works through us in bestowing God's blessings. In our readings today, we even hear from the Apostle Peter, and he makes the connection between vocation, service, and glorifying God, where everything goes back to glorifying God. For the last several weeks, we have been studying the book of Revelation on Tuesday mornings in our Bible study over here. And from the very first day, we have learned that in John's visions for that book of Revelation, all have to do with the constant reminder of the people back then and in today's time that the followers of Jesus must worship and glorify only the God in Jesus' name and not any other human or any other part of creation. That was a problem back then, and it still is now, where we worship and glorify our own idols. It is to God, our Father in heaven, that Jesus' name, that we exist. And really, in order to do all of this, to glorify God, we must be in community as the one body in Christ, right? We need to be together in this game. And as priestly prayer before God, Jesus pleads for his disciples that all the future believers be one. That oneness is a blessing that Jesus knows intimately with God. They have kept your word, Jesus says, facing his betrayal and his departure here. They have followed me here, and they know something of the intimacy of our oneness. Protect them, God. Christ is the sure incarnate and casts out all fear. As sure as Christ is Christ, a real Christian breaks down barriers among groups at home and among them in the churches and in the communities and to the ends of the earth. And Jesus pleads with God for protection for the disciples and for us, that we might be about the work of breaking down barriers. And he understands how difficult that work really is in breaking down barriers in Christ's love. And it's hard to accept that we need the blessing and protection of a God who guards and guides our lives. If we think about it, we say that God shows us the way. And with God's blessings and protection, we are able to create spaces of blessings wherever we find ourselves, trusting that we live in the unity of one God. Jesus is Father God, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one, to give God glory. Now, it is important that I make a clear distinction here, especially for us modern day Christians, American Christians at that, where we are divided more than ever in time, I believe, and it seems like we are on a pinnacle of extremism at the same time as well. But to be one does not mean that we are to be one big happy family underneath one roof. In fact, I would dare say that our diversity in the church that we have is actually a gift. But it doesn't mean that we all have to really get along. That's really, really, really hard. Have you ever tried to get along with your direct family? Yeah. One of my mentor pastors once said that when the Bible speaks about church unity, it speaks of unity, not at the expense of truth, but on the basis of it. In other words, Christ calls us to the same kind of unity as he enjoys with the Father. A unity that is grounded on and based on truth in general, and the truth in the gospel particularly. You know, the truth in what the Word of God says. We cannot, therefore, find unity in anything that is not consistent with that relationship outside of the gospels, nor can we deny unity with anything that is. This is what it means when Jesus prays, I have given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, so that they may be completely brought into unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me, even though you have loved me. Being one, in this context of this Bible verse, is for us to be one living Jesus way, as we are the living Jesus in our world for all people. And the church, the Christian church, is a society designed by God to include everyone. And you were created for something greater than yourself. You were formed for something awesome and magnificent. So again, in the oneness, we don't always get along with one another. But as ELCA Lutheran Christians, we need to be able to support those in the world who choose to follow Jesus in other expressions than an ELCA Lutheran church. People need to see Jesus in their own context, and that means Jesus is seen in different ways, even in different theologies. This is still being unified as one in Christ. And then there's the fact of the things that we argue about in the church quite often, the things that we seem to have issues with one another. And one of my favorite Greek terms that is used in systematic theology is called adiaphora. When it comes to issues of theology, deciding that doctrinal differences not related to justification by faith are considered adiaphora, or matters not essential to salvation. It basically means that things are useful, but they're not very important. So many of the things in our lives that separate us, that we argue about and fight with one another about, is another form of adiaphora. Maybe to help you in this understanding of oneness, we can just go to the mission statement of our congregation. Our mission statement here at Spirit of Hope declares what it is that we exist as a congregation for, what our purpose is. And our mission statement says that we are to make Christ known. Make Christ known. And we do this by making disciples. That is why we exist. Everything else is adiaphora. Everything else is secondary. So every little argument that we have in the church about where things go, how we place things, you know, who gets along with who, everything else is adiaphora. Our job is to make disciples. Our call for today is to make Christ known. And by giving glory to God, that is why we're here. And by glorifying God and making disciples of Jesus Christ, we are being the one body in Christ and the oneness with God. This is unification. This is the oneness of the church. You know, we are adopted family into the church through our baptism. And where we are told that God loves us and gives us a role in this church. Should we not have that impartial love for those in need of Christ? To love everyone? And especially to those of the household of faith? Love one another. Glorify your God. And be one in Christ. Amen.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell to tell the the story. 'Twill be by theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
I invite you to please stand as we confess our faith, the faith in which we believe, through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was made incarnate with the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified and under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in the glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father is, and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we continue with the prayers of the church. United in hope and the joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of harmony, as you drew your Son to your side, you draw us to and unite us with the planets and to one another. Weave your church together in a web of mutual love for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As your Spirit hovered over the waters of creation, so your Spirit hovers over all that you have made. Bless the waters that sustain the planet and grant wisdom to use it wisely. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Empower your people with fire of your Spirit. Challenge activists and organizers, teachers and politicians, and all in leadership to speak a message of peace and justice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You care for all your children. Show your steadfast love to those suffering isolation, especially exiles, refugees, and prisoners. Break the chains of all held fast by systemic oppression of any kind. Comfort all who are afraid or suffering from illness. Today we remember especially Daryl and Leroy, Connie and Addie, for Ruthie and Lois and Mike. We pray for Donna, for Phil, for Janice, for Linda and Ken Vandenberg, for Kevin Anderson. We pray for Cindy. We pray for Colleen. And we pray for all those we mention now silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks that humankind serves as your body in the world, stewarding your abundant gifts. Guide this congregation's leaders as they seek your will. Pray for all of our volunteers, our team directors, and our council. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You raise your saints to new life in Christ. We give you thanks for all your saints who have given us a glimpse of your redeeming love. We pray especially for Moyne Gates, for Jeanette Bailey, and for Naomi Henson, all who have passed away this month. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and our praise to you, almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to take a moment and stand and greet those around you this morning. Already peace to you. Already, I think I'm peace to you. All right, I invite you to return to your seats as we receive our morning tithes and offerings.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. 'Cause you are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne and you were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, and you are God alone. And you're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way it is. 'Cause you are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne and you were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. 'Cause you are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne and you were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne and you are God alone. Right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Yes, you are God alone.
Invite you to please stand. Amen. Thank you very much. Please stand.
All we need is God.
Let's sing together our offertory song.
Give thanks
with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus.
Be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, our deed and our joy, that we should at all times and all places give thanks and praise to our Lord Jesus Christ, whom on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, in the same manner, he took the cup and he gave thanks, and he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and help us to pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. And the blood of Christ is shed for you. I invite you to be seated and let us all receive the Lord's Supper now and come folk as you are.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending. Amazing grace, the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. And all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And are you weak and heavy laden and crumbled with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. You kneel this, do thy friends despise, forsake thee, will take it to the Lord in prayer, in his arms, cause in his arms he'll take and shield thee, and thou wilt find a solace there.
I invite you to please stand. And now may the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you within God's grace, hope, peace, love, and joy, now and forever. Amen. Pray with me the post-communion prayer. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us and show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So may the Lord God of all, who raised Jesus from the dead, bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit to live in the new creation. Amen. Let's sing together our closing song.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died.
Worship is over. Now let the service begin. Thanks be to God.